Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you've come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 62, for November 21st, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, the OT net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
I thought episode 62 was last week.
We've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
We've got Kev Botrek.
Yo, yo.
And we've got Carp.
What up?
So yeah, if you guys noticed, last week we aired the Resident Evil retrospective. That was supposed to air during our Christmas break, where we're going to take off 3 weeks, along with our JCVD Jean-Claude Van Damme two-parter. Unfortunately, our technical issues just went to the roof. And I'm telling you, if you're using a mixer and you're using Pamela, do not upgrade to Skype 6.10, because Skype 6.10 will hate you. But we've got all the issues sorted out now. And we're on Skype 6.9. I've got my mixer working. I got Pamela working. And without getting too technical, because it is not a technology podcast, for the foreseeable future, we will not lose any more episodes. And that's a promise to the panelists as well. I know you guys come in every week, and I appreciate your effort. All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Got some interesting stories this week, starting off with the 9 craziest Star Wars rumors that people actually believed. Got some news on Mission Impossible 5. It's joining the 2015 calendar on Christmas Day. Got a trailer for Noah. Also, we've got some story that I know Kebo Trek is not a fan of, and I'm sure he's going to bring this up. This is It's a Wonderful Life sequel is coming in 2015. Guillermo del Toro says Warner Brothers planning for entire DC universe. And we're going to end our news stories with Will Smith and director Sean Levy. They're going to be teaming up for an ocean-spanning adventure called City That Sails. Heavy set. What would you like to discuss this week?
Well, hopefully I'm taking the story from him, so I want to talk about It's a Wonderful Life too.
Oh, heavy set with the steel. All right, so It's a Wonderful Life sequel in 2015. Now, Star Partners and Hummingbird Productions are teaming up to produce a sequel to Frank Capra's iconic 1946 film classic, It's a Wonderful Life. The original film followed George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, a troubled family man who, near suicide on Christmas Eve, brings on the intervention of his guardian angel. Heavy, I'm going to start off by saying I think it's a horrible idea. You've seen all these old school remakes. One in particular, I can give you a good example of 12 Angry Men. That is a movie you do not remake. You know, you've got Wizard of Oz, It's a Wonderful Life. You got a bunch of these old school movies that remade will just destroy it. It's iconic. It should not be tampered with. Let's get your thoughts.
You know what? I'm kind of on the borderline of this. I mean, when I read the headline, I'm like, oh my God, this is a dumb idea. Why would you make a sequel this long later? Then reading the kind of the article about, like, it would be about his grandson, I'm thinking, okay, this could be somewhat interesting. I do want to see more from it, but I think the signs are pointing towards this is going to be a really bad movie. It's going to be equivalent to A Christmas Story too. Everybody knows the original, but the sequel is just terrible. And there's actually, I think, 2 sequels.
Yeah, it just should not be touched. you did bring up a good fact. It's been like 70, 80 years. Like, why now? You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting any of the characters going to be reprising their roles. So I don't see the point of
actually,
it.
Actually, read the story. There's like a couple characters who are – one who's like supposedly going to do it and two who are – it's not like the main characters. It's just people like
– some dude – yeah, some little kid that was like begging for change or something. He's reprising his role as a beggar. That's great. Yeah, I just – yeah. I was going to play devil's advocate and say, oh, it's a great idea. But honestly, like I can't even do – it's just – it's terrible idea. It's a cash grab. It's going to be terrible. Kebo Trek, I'm sure you agree with me on this.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked when I read this. I mean, you know, in and itself, even though it's kind of would be like almost like a Groundhog Day without the groundhog, but like I think it's a solid concept for a movie, just not, you know, a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life.
Call it something else.
Well, that's it. Don't put any relation to It's a Wonderful Life. Just make that kind of movie, because I think it could be okay. Yes, we've seen that kind of movie before, but I don't understand what they're thinking. And I know you said it's going to be a cash grab, but I think it's going to get blasted by the critics, and I just don't think it's going to make any money. I don't think it's a movie people are going to want to see at all. It's a Wonderful Life is one of the best movies ever made. So right off the bat, you know,
that's a bit biased, Kevin.
No, well, when I watched watching it for the first time in the Christmas on our Christmas special, I was shocked by how good I found it. And I mean, to this date, it's also the hardest movie I've ever had to watch. But I mean, it's such a good movie, like such an iconic, great movie that no matter what comes out from the sequel, it's just not going to compare at all.
Anybody else want to
chime in? I'll chime in. What I find weird is that it's a sequel. See, I would get a remake, and I would even be – not that I'm for – I don't care about this movie, but I could be devil's advocate for a remake. For example
– Remake would be even worse.
No, I'll make you eat crow right now. What about True Grit? That was a classic John Wayne movie, and the Coen brothers, who I know
you – True Grit and It's a Wonderful Life are not on any kind of same level.
Of course they are. What are you talking about?
No, they are. Yes. No way.
No, they yes. are no not. Way.
You don't see True Grit playing once a year. Oh, it's a Wonderful Life is a staple.
Okay, I'll give you another one then. Willy Wonka.
Even that was terrible.
The remake was complete ass.
It was garbage.
I totally disagree. I totally disagree. The remake was much closer to the book. And I would rather my kids watch that one than the other one, because the other one has these really weird segments that and this one stays closer to the book and it has a better lesson at the end. So I don't know. I think there was some merit to it anyways. And it showed, you know, a new generation of kids something new. I don't think remakes are inherently evil. But now I do see what you're talking about, though. The fact that it does come back every year, like The Wizard of Oz on – when does Wizard of Oz play? Is it on Easter? No, that's Willy Wonka. When does Wizard of Oz play?
I have no idea. But how about Gone with the Wind? It's like you don't touch that. It's like a hockey player's jersey number. You retire it because it's just you can't touch it. And so I could name maybe five movies that you just shouldn't touch. And this isn't one of those five, in my opinion.
Agreed.
All right.
Carp, let's throw this to you. Let's get your news story of the week.
Let's go with the 9 craziest Star Wars rumors.
Hey, remember when Kristen Stewart cheated on Rob Pattinson? That's that twinkly vampire guy. With her Snow White and a Huntsman director, and she found herself in the subject of at least one crazy rumor every few days for about 6 months. Well, Star Wars has been dealing with that same level of outlandish news since A New Hope was released all the way back in 1977. For the constant more than decade-long drum of unsubstantiated new film noise to outlandish chatter about Stewart and Pattinson themselves joining the universe, the conversation hasn't stopped for more than 35 years, and it's sure as Greedo isn't going to stop now. So I'm going to talk about some of the most outlandish rumors, get your thoughts on it. First one was Natalie Portman will get naked for The Phantom Menace. Anybody thought that was possible?
Would have never happened. It's a George Lucas. He's never going to show boob.
Also, this girl she was way too young, I think. She couldn't have done it, right?
Yeah, it would have been like child porn, yeah.
She could have done it like near the end of the filming. She was just turning about 18 at the time. So anybody who ever believed that is a moron.
Han Solo will die in The Empire Strikes Back. Really?
No, yeah, but I see that. No, I mean, really? I understand how people were discussing it back then. Yeah. Well, look, for the longest time, there would be rumors around. For example, the script for what was it? The guy who did Darth Vader's, not his voice, but his physicality, was told that Darth Vader killed Luke's father, and his line was, "Luke, I killed your father." And then they changed it in post production so that everybody could be surprised. So yeah, I see how rumors could originate back in the day.
But this, like, Star Wars was originally written completely different as well. I mean, the story we got versus what was originally written are two completely different things.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So, I mean, George Lucas is never one to shy back from all the, you know, the rumors that are going around. It helps build his films. He's like, sure, talk about my shit as much as you want. Create as much stuff as you want. But in the end, my shit's going to come out and you guys are going to go see it. Even if it's atrocious things like the original, well, 1, 2, and 3.
Mick Jagger will do the score for Empire Strikes Back.
That could have been interesting.
I don't see him being able to do a score.
He's no John Williams, obviously, but you never know. Has he done a score for a movie?
I don't think so.
No, so.
Jet Li? Yeah. How about Jet Li playing Boba Fett?
No.
No?
It wouldn't work. Although it'll come back around now that the rumors have, since Disney bought everything George Lucas owned. And we're supposed to get 7 more films between now and, I think, 2025. There's supposed to be a Boba Fett film. But to me, like, you cast an almost no-namer as Boba Fett.
Han Solo and Darth Vader will become one life force.
Stupid.
Retarded.
Kev, what do you think?
I think it's a great idea. No.
Hey, Heavy, Christopher Walken will play Darth Bane.
Wow.
I see it. Why not? Well, they made Christopher Lee be a Darth something, Darth Tyrannus, so it would have been fine.
I wanted to get Heavy's Bane impression for that one.
Excellent.
There we go. Orson Welles will play the Emperor. Imagine that.
That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome.
That could have been pretty awesome.
That could have been really good, yeah.
But, I mean, now like they got a relatively unknown guy when he was super young to play a super old guy, and now they bring him back to do the original 3 stories.
It worked so well. I'm still impressed to say that they'd use the young guy for that. That was pretty good forward thinking.
That was pretty crazy in the end.
Colin Trevorrow will direct episode 7. Who's Colin Trevorrow?
He did Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
Kind of an almost indie flick there with one of your favorite actresses there, Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, love Aubrey Plaza.
But to me, like, from what I saw, he doesn't have the chops to do something as epic as Star Wars. And then, your fanboys kind of fucking brains exploded when they heard it was J.J. Abrams. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, although he's kind of crossing the streams, I mean, he's got the mind to do it. Abrams can handle that for sure. All right, Will, let's get your news story.
Well, first, I just want to say there was a rumor I really liked back in the day for when the third Star Wars movie is going to come out, the third of the new trilogy, and it was going to be that Liam Neeson would return as a ghost, and he'd be the first ghost. And they do discuss it, but you never actually see Liam Neeson return. And I remember I wanted to see that. I want that rumor to be true.
Do they take his daughter?
I was going to make the exact same joke.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's in it.
Now, what you don't understand, Sith, is that I have a very particular set of skills.
And he's like, really? In this movie, too? Like the fourth wall.
Well, guys, you know he's in his 60s, right?
Which is awesome.
And it's awesome. Yeah. No. I'm just saying it's amazing that he had this career, that he has this change in career later in his life. Anyways, I'm going to do the Noah trailer, please.
Let's play that trailer for you and get your thoughts.
No. What did he say?
He's going to destroy the world.
My father said that one day, if man continued in his ways, the Creator would annihilate this world.
Can it not be averted?
He speaks to you. You must trust that he speaks in a way that you can understand.
I saw water. Death by water. And I saw new life.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to survive the storm. We build an ark.
What do you want?
You don't know your king.
There isn't anything for you here.
I have men at my back. And you stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone.
All right, yeah. So Noah bringing the old school Bible to the big screen. Noah's Ark, Russell Crowe. It's not usually my type of movie, but this could entice me to go see it.
Yeah. This is the movie I'm looking most forward to. Old school. We discussed this before. Remember we said sometimes there's these weird trailers, right? We see a bunch of stuff coming out of nowhere. It's all like The Council, I know you said, didn't work. Inception worked. This is the kind of director who all his trailers look like this. Obviously, this movie is a bit of an exception because we know the Noah story. So when we see a snake, we're like, oh, he's referring to the Bible. But someone who didn't read the Bible, this is a pretty weird-looking trailer.
Who didn't read the Bible?
My girlfriend didn't.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't nowadays.
A lot of people
No, but people kind of know. I mean, Noah is like Santa Claus, dude. I mean,
that's wow.
You know, no, I'm not saying Noah doesn't.
He's out of world in one day, saving each one kind of animal.
Is it because they both have beards, old school?
It's a well-known story is what I'm saying. People know, like, I'm telling you.
I don't know. Okay, to me, if this movie isn't the torture porn that Passion of Christ was,
No, it's not.
The only thing it's missing is zombies, though. Yeah. If they had zombies in this, I
would. Noah versus the zombies.
Noah and zombies.
Hey, Jesus fought the zombies, so.
Jesus fought demons,
Wasn't there Pride and Prejudice with zombies, some book like
that?
Yeah,
it was a terrible book.
Well, the same guy who did, Carp, is the same guy who did Lincoln versus zombies?
Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Hunter.
That was fantastic.
Oh, that's actually a good book, but Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies reads exactly like Pride and Prejudice, except they occasionally throw in a zombie or something about, like, training. So I was reading Pride and Prejudice, which I never enjoyed in the first place, and then it's like, oh, there's a zombie. Oh, now it's Pride and Prejudice again, and this sucks. There was rumors that that movie was going to be made for a while, that Seth something, the guy who wrote Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, told him it's in that too, and Natalie Portman was supposed to be one of the main actresses, but that's been placed in developmental hell, so.
I see. Hey guys, back to Noah. So the thing that the reason why I like this is because the director is Darren Aronofsky, and I'm glad that I have you all here. So his trailers are always weird and always great, leaving me wanting more. And Kevbo, remember the wonderful movie called The Fountain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the same director. If you watch the trailer, you'll definitely see some key points to it. He's using, it's a bit similar in the way he has his camera movements and the themes in his films and the colors. So I love this guy. He also did Black Swan, The Fighter, Pi, and he did Requiem for a Dream. Every one of his movies are masterpieces, and I cannot wait for this. It also looks amazingly epic. So I'm really looking for this.
I mean, I don't think it's to the level you're saying, for me anyways, without zombies, but...
He also didn't do The Fighter, he did The Wrestler.
Oh, damn it!
Kebo Trek, let's throw this to you. What would you like to discuss this week?
I'm going to have to go with DC.
Since news over the summer brought word that Warner Brothers was planning the Flash and Justice League, in addition to their huge Comic-Con announcement for Batman versus Superman in 2015, there's been no doubt that the studio wants to do something with the DC universe. More recently, those plans have seemed more urgent with rumors swirling around the inclusion of characters like Nightwing, Adam Driver is the top contender, by the way, and maybe Wonder Woman getting involved. Now, director Guillermo del Toro, who is working on a Justice League Dark film, says Warner Brothers has plans for the whole DC universe. Kebo Trek, you know, he goes on to the article to discuss all the stuff that's going to be happening. Let's get your thoughts on this. Do you think this is going to get to the same level as the Avengers? Do you think that finally they're going to do some DC justice here?
I think they will. I mean, and to me, this is a no-brainer where after you see the success that Marvel had with all her stuff and bringing them all together and giving them separate movies, I think you have to do it with DC. And I think it will be successful because they have some of the most iconic franchises, especially with Batman and Superman, that I think it's a great idea. If done well, it'll really just increase the value of their properties like we're seeing Marvel done. So I just think it's a great idea. I'm not surprised at all they're doing it. And I think they're going to do a really good job kind of unveiling all these characters and giving some of them their own movies. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
With the rebirth of Batman and the trilogy, that broke box office records, did amazing. So Batman is, you know, their top character, of course.
Yes. But
Superman, the reboot really turned me on to that character because I hated all previous versions of it. I liked the little bit of a kind of gray, dark tone that was thrown onto that. And I'm sure Chris Nolan producing it had a little bit to do with it. So Cavill really sold me as Superman. And now they're talking about that chick and Thor is going to be, might be Wonder Woman. And I don't know. I see now the progression of this DC universe a lot more than I did before Superman came out. So who else wants to chime in?
I have a question, and I think the answer is obvious, but...
Boobs.
Well, yeah, boobs, of course. I mean, we need to see boobs.
What's the question?
Do you guys see in this being a lot darker than what we're seeing from Marvel?
Yeah.
Like, on a whole, like, say Wonder Woman gets her own movie, whatever, I don't know, Green Lantern or whatever. Do you see them being, like, darker or more half-comedic, half-not that we're seeing from a lot of the Marvel movies?
No,
I think it depends who is in the back, who's behind the camera, who's producing it. But from what we've seen in the first two iterations, the Batman and the Superman, it has been going that way. So it makes sense to me that it would continue to do so.
I feel that because the failure of Green Lantern, which was trying to be jokey and colorful, obviously it failed for many other reasons, but because they see that as a failure and the Batman trilogy as a success, to me it makes sense that they're definitely looking towards making it darker. I know, to me it makes sense that obviously Warner Bros. Wants a DC thing to DC Marvel. It's obvious, blatantly obvious that they want the same thing themselves. However, what's not clear is that we don't know if they're incorporating TV into it. Because right now, DC has a pretty big TV world, too. They'll have The Flash on TV. They got Green Arrow on TV. Will they be incorporating this into their actual big screen universe? I think they should. It would help them. It would save them a lot of time. I don't know. But right now, especially a lot of fanboys are asking themselves. And right now, DC and, I mean, obviously Warner Brothers are not being clear on that aspect.
So this to Carp, then. Let's get your thoughts, man. Do you think this DC universe is going to be dark like the Batman trilogy?
Money talks. That's all I got to say. And they've earned a lot of money with their darkness. There are some pretty dark storylines, too, from what I remember the DC universe. Like, I believe it's the Infinity Crisis. Like, it starts off with a rape of a character. So
that's Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis, that's it. You know, DC can get dark, so we'll see. Apparently the new 52 stuff as well is pretty dark. Yep. Like, in the new Batman comics, Joker has his face cut off and he's walking around without a face.
No, it's better than that, Carp. He's walking around with his actual face that's been cut off and stitched back onto his face.
Stapled back on.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the owners of DC, Warner Brothers, I guess, see where their money's going and where it's being brought in, so why not?
Although, by the way, fun contrast, Marvel, on the other hand, their movies are kind of bright and their comics are also very bright and like more fun right now.
Heavy man, if we got you back on the line, let's get your thoughts on this.
I think it has a possibility going that way. It's like what was said of everything that's gone on with the Batman franchise and everything. And that's where their money is. While Marvel has made a lot of noise with all their movies in the past 10 years, the only thing DC really has is Batman. I mean, it's kind of what was said earlier about, you know, they have the Superman franchise. The thing is with the Superman, it's just the history and everything is where their money is. But no one like wanted to see another movie. Because it's like, we've seen it, it's the same shit, blah, 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 blah. But it's like what I said, they've got some interest, and if they keep going this dark way, people are going to now want to turn on some of these movies, especially that Green Lantern movie. That Green Lantern movie was horrible.
Yeah, that was a steaming pile of shit.
Yeah, it sucked.
All right, interesting news for this week. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week, what was done last week. Fortunately, we lost it, but we're going to go back to it.
No one has to know.
All right, the review for this week, which was supposed to be last week, is Thor 2. I'm going to give you my quick thoughts on it. I was a fan of this movie, and I did not like the first one very much. The cinematics were fantastic. Just even the CGI was great. The acting was fantastic. It's a great supporting cast, of course. And I all around enjoyed the story, except for the end, where there was a little too much comedy, in my opinion, but... definitely go check it out on the big screen, regardless if it's Cheapy Tuesday or not. It is worth your 10 or 12 bucks. I will give it 8.5 giant hammers hanging on a coat rack on 10. Let's throw this to Kebo Trek. Let's get your review of Thor.
Yeah, just very quickly. I really enjoyed it as well. Like the first movie, I had problems with the human element. I didn't think the characters were very engaging. Like you mentioned, they were mostly used for comic relief, so I didn't like that. But other than that, I think the rest of the movie was pretty fantastic. Visuals were unbelievable. You know, the relationship between Loki and Thor was fantastic.
It's just great back and forth between those two. That was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it was probably my second favorite after Lady Sif. But yeah, just a great story. The stuff on Asgard was really well done. I thought the villains were really cool. Some nice surprises here and there. So, I mean, if it wasn't for the human stuff, I'd give it a 9. But because it was in it, and I wasn't crazy about Natalie Portman's character, or pretty much any of the humans, I'm going to give it 8 phase shifts on 10.
You think it was better in the first one?
Yes, it was. Because there was less, the less, like, I mean, I know it was used for comedic relief, but I wasn't crazy about all the stuff on Earth in the first one.
Yeah. Well, let's throw this to you. Review of Thor.
Actually, guys, I think the same way as old school. The exact same way. We may disagree on Netflix. When it comes to Thor, him and I are on the same one-track mind. 8.5, giant hammers on a coat rack. I'll still that joke. It was a great joke in the movie. And the best part of the movie is easily Loki. I read the comics. He was okay in the comics, but somehow in the movie universe, Marvel and Disney found a great character in Loki. Whenever he's on screen, everything becomes alive again. Everything's fun again. The fact that this had less on Earth made... the thing is that since Thor's a god, we never really know what that means and what he can do and what he can't do. So when he's facing his own threats on his own realm, it always makes a bit more sense than on Earth, where he's just an overpowered person. So it was all great. The villain wasn't that awesome, but you realize that the real villain in the movie is, I guess, Loki. And that's a lot of fun.
Karp, let's get your review of Thor.
Generally, I liked it quite a bit. It was really good. The guy who played Curse as well, I really liked. Adebisi.
Who's Curse?
The guy who used to play Adebisi on Oz.
But really who's in the movie? Who's in the movie?
Curse. He's the giant freaking like Hulk type monster there.
Oh, like the second in command or something of the bad guys.
Exactly. Okay. I found it interesting that they basically created a language for on screen, the Dark Elf language, which was cool. Rene Russo fought like her fighting style was actually pretty well done too. I could have done without the Star Wars elements of Asgard, because it was a Skywalker Studio post production and it felt very Star Warsy to me.
Yeah.
Loki, phenomenal. I think I enjoyed Kat Dennings acting more in this than I did Natalie Portman's. To me, Natalie Portman doesn't really fit the Jane Foster type character. So for me, it's a 7.5. Just a 7.5 out of 10.
12 Years a Slave, Will and Kev saw it. Let's get a quick review. Get your thoughts. Start with Will.
Okay, it's a 9 out of 10. I'm not going to make any jokes because that's a tough part about this movie. How do you criticize it? It's about slavery and it's a very serious depiction, unlike Django Unchained, which is made more for fun. I recommend it. However, it's a tough film to go through, and I would only watch it once. It's very tough to go see again, although it's expertly shot. The best part of the movie is Fassbender, who once again becomes a completely different character on screen, and it's amazing to watch, even though he's a terrible, terrible person.
Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, like Will said, it wasn't an easy movie to watch. There was some really graphic scenes, like one in particular with some whipping and that it's just not easy to watch. And I mean, overall, it was just great acting, great cinematics. You really felt the world they were trying to bring to life. If I have one criticism, I don't know if you'll agree, Will, is
we'll see.
To me, it didn't feel like 12 years.
No, it didn't at all.
It felt like maybe 3 years or something.
That's because they don't show like a thing on like the top right saying 5 years later. There's none of that. So we never get a sense of time going by.
But maybe even like put some gray in his hair. Do something to kind of show more time has passed. Because
I'll tell you how they do it. You know how Michael Fassbender is into these black chicks?
Yeah.
At a certain point, he has like a young black daughter who's like 5. So you're like, well, obviously time went by. That's how I saw it.
I just wish they did a bit more. But I mean, that's a small nitpick. One of the best movies of the year. And like you, obviously I'm not going to make a joke about it. I give it a 9 on 10.
All right. On that note, let's check out the numbers for this week. Break it down. All right, break down the weekend box office for this week, Kebo.
No real surprise. Thor was once again first place, adding a little under $37 million, giving it a total of $145 million. Obviously, this is going to do better than the first movie, and with the foreign market, Marvel will be quite happy. In second place with a beastly $30 million, The Best Man Holiday.
Did not see that coming.
No, Heffy, I gotta ask you.
I owe you $10, old school.
Yes, you do. Yep.
So Heffy, I mean, obviously you picked this movie, but did you expect $30 million?
How late did I pick this? Because I think I picked it towards the end. Really? That's called luck.
This is a sleeper pick for sure.
In third place, we have Las Vegas, adding $8.4 million, giving it a total of $46 million. I think the studio will be happy. It's not going to make much on the international scene, but small budget, I think they'll be happy. In fourth place is Freebirds with $8 million, giving it a total of $42 million. Fifth place, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, adding another $7.4 million, giving it just under $90 million on a $15 million budget. I mean, Carp, you saw this coming, right?
Yeah, Jackasses are bank, man. If you look at the previous three, they've all made more, way more than their budget backs. So.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when you have a $15 million budget, it's, you know, and these movies, like you said, they're pretty much guaranteed to get a good haul. In sixth place, we have Gravity with $6.1 million, giving it a total of $240 million on a $100 million budget. I think definitely one of the surprise hits of the year. In seventh place, we have The Fantastic Ender's Game, adding $6 million, giving it a pretty weak total of $53.5 million. Eighth place, we have 12 Years a Slave, adding $4.6 million, down 31%, giving it a total of about $25 million, and we'll see this movie get some Oscar buzz, so I think we'll see it around for a while. In ninth place, we have Captain Phillips adding $4.3 million, giving it a total of $97 million. With the international, I think the studio will be pretty happy with that. And rounding out the top 10, we have About Time with $3.3 million, giving it a total of $11.6 million.
Thank you very much, Kembo Trek. Two movies out this week. First one, Vince Vaughn in Delivery Man. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
In my life, I have a tendency to make very bad decisions.
David, I don't want a boyfriend who just disappears because he's too busy. You're unreliable. You have brought me such beautiful flowers.
Yes, I did. Maybe that's why I've been stuck in the same job for so long.
You're 3 hours late, man.
You know, David, I love you like a son.
I am your son.
Everyone has a purpose in life. I guess I just haven't found mine yet.
David Wozniak. In 1994, you donated to a fertility clinic anonymously. Apparently, there was a mix-up at the clinic.
What?
You are the biological father of 533 children.
What? It is impossible to be the father of 533 children.
It is impossible to be the father of 4 children.
How would a normal person handle a situation like this?
A normal person would not be in this situation.
We're in trouble, David. Your kids are suing to find out who their biological father is.
What do we do now?
This envelope contains the profiles of your children. Do not open it.
I know I shouldn't have, but I picked out one of the profiles. I just picked one.
Worst idea ever.
I'm an actor missing the audition of a lifetime right now.
I'll take care of the coffee shop.
Who are you, man?
I can make a cup of coffee.
I lost my job.
You lost your job.
I got the part.
You got the part? This could be the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me.
These kids need someone to look out for them.
Yeah!
They need a guardian angel.
Hey, sexy!
What are you doing? You never seen a girl before?
When you're looking out for these kids, will you be wearing some kind of cape?
I didn't say superhero. I said guardian angel.
You do not want to reveal yourself. You don't want to be known as the guy with 500 kids.
For the first time in my life, I'm doing the right thing.
That's it!
Officially set out to try and have a life.
Nice!
Maybe it's strange and a bit oversized, but it's my life.
You don't have the skills to be a father.
Daddy!
Okay, stop it. I need order. And this is order?
Delivery Man, starring Vince Vaughn, who plays the biological father to 300 children. I guess he donated sperm and... wrong sperm got into the
500.
Wrong ladies.
500.
500.
And that's not what happened, but it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Well, whatever. It's something like that happened. And he's now the biological father of a lot of kids. feel-good movie, not really my thing, but I do think it's going to be bankable. Vince Vaughn is a draw. I don't know how big a draw he is.
But look at the internship.
Yeah, I would guess it's going to open it around just under 20. But that's a nay for me. Let's throw this to Heavyset.
Up until I heard that trailer, I didn't even really want to see it. Now, yeah, I'm borderline on this one. I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a normal Vince Vaughn movie, but there seems like there's a glimmer of hope that it's going to maybe possibly outshine the normal Vince Vaughnness. So I want to give it a shot. I really do.
Sounds like a Chibi Tuesday from Heavy. Kebo Trek, yeah or nay?
Pretty much looks like every Vince Vaughn movie. Yeah, that's so. It's a nay for
it
me.
Reminded me of The Breakup a lot.
Yeah.
Just the tone.
It's just like, I mean, at this point in the game, unless something really changes, every Vince Vaughn movie is going to be pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got his formula. Will, yeah or nay?
It's nay.
Carp, let's get your thoughts on this year.
Yeah, I didn't want to see it when it was called Starbuck in French. I don't want to see it now.
All right. Got one more. This is going to make a bit of money. I made a bit of a blunder, as it were. I forgot to choose this one during the movie draft. This is The Hunger Games 2, Catching Fire. Play the trailer. Get your thoughts.
You understand that whatever I do, it comes back to you and Mom. I don't want you to get hurt.
Since the last games, something's different. I can see it.
What can you see?
Hope.
You saved us.
I know that.
But I can't go on acting for the cameras and then just ignoring each other in real life.
She's not who they think she is. She has to be eliminated.
I agree, but in the right way, at the right time.
We have to go before they kill us. They will kill us.
People want to fight.
I'm staying here.
He fought very hard in the games, Miss Everdeen. But they were games. Would you like to be in a real war? Imagine thousands of your people dead. Your loved ones gone.
What do I need to do?
This is the 75th year of the Hunger Games. The tributes are to be reaped from the existing pool of victors.
I get to say goodbye.
So what do we do?
I don't think these games are going to be different.
The 75th.
Forget everything you think you know about the games. Last year was child's play. This year, you're dealing with all experienced killers.
Any last advice?
Stay alive. Remember who the real enemy is.
Hunger Games: Catching Fire, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Elizabeth Banks, Joss Hutcherson, Woody Harrelson, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Donald Sutherland, and the list goes on. Great supporting cast. I was really surprised the first one did so much money, but this is rumored to break box office records for this. Kebo Trek, let's start with you. Get your thoughts.
I've never seen the first one, but I actually do want to go back and watch it. So I'm not sure if I'd see it in the theater, but I definitely do want to eventually watch this movie.
I would say watch the first one first before you say that. Like, I haven't seen the first one myself.
Oh, yeah, and definitely. Now
because,
definitely.
Because all the hype, I'm going to watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, same here, exactly.
I can't even say you're an A yet because I want to see the first one first. I'll probably rent it or whatever and then give you my thoughts. Will, let's throw this to you. Yay or nay?
Yay, because my girlfriend desperately wants to watch this and my mom too, so I guess I'm going to go either way.
Getting dragged by your woman.
Yeah, either one.
There you go. Carp, yay or nay?
First one, I didn't find all that great. Way too much shaky cam. I'll probably be skipping out on this one unless it's a date movie or something. But yeah.
Ooh, Kirk, you got a date?
Should I have a date?
Yeah, he's got your mom.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'll take your mom.
Heavy set.
She's
yeah,
single. I'm not picky.
I'm single.
That's Carp's rule in life. Heavy set.
I mean, how did you figure that the first movie wasn't going to make a lot of money? That was like Twilight at one point. It was just a big book series that everybody wanted to get on. Was
look at Ender's Game, man.
It's not a book series.
Here's the difference. Women were loving it, and that they love it because of the love story that's in there. That's what women really love. That's the whole, like, the world of Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey, and that was the same thing with Hunger Games. It depends on who you are. My girlfriend, I know she hates Twilight and all that shit, but she heard Hunger Games were good books. I don't think it was any reason why. She picked it up. She loved them. She likes reading those books, and it's not because of, like, I don't think it's because of the love story, but that's why it's so big. People treat it like Edward. It's team, whatever their fucking names are. But yeah, I will probably be seeing this. My girlfriend, I think she's going to see it before I get home, but she'll probably want to see it again, so that's when I'll probably see it.
Team Peter. Yeah.
Archery went up big time, apparently, after the first one came out. All these chicks were going to be archers for a week.
Here's what I'd like to know. Now, here's some real irony in the book. The guy's name is PETA, and he's always making bread, or he's lifting flour, or it's always something bread-related.
That's kind of fun. That's awesome.
That's funny. The first time I heard it, I thought they had like these accents, and they were calling him. His name is PETER. But it's like, no, his name is P-E-T-A, PETA.
Like PETA. Like PETA. Yeah.
But no, it's P-I-T-A.
He's a bread guy.
Pita. That's Pita.
No,
he's,
no.
He's
Peter. Peter.
Peter. Duty.
Oh, no. I know.
All right. Let's check out the wonderful world of DVDs.
DVD release.
Will, what's coming out this week, man?
All right. So we got some movies actually I watched. We got Two Guns, which is with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg.
Ooh, I'm sorry, I'm renting it as we speak.
Yeah, it's you know, you know what? Gallifrey would be proud. Old school. You know what it is? Two Guns is like a 90s movie that's happening now. So it's fun, but don't expect too much from it. It's like an old school 90s movie.
It's a rental.
Yeah, for sure. You've got All Is Bright with Paul Giamatti and Paul Rudd, which is about a bittersweet Christmas movie. You've got COG, which has Jonathan Groff and Corey Stoll, and supposedly it's David Sedaris fans will be thrilled. Although it's got 3 stars on Amazon. You've also got The Crystal Fairy. It's actually called Crystal Fairy and the Magical Cactus with Michael Cera. It's a drug movie. Have fun. You also have Drew, the Man Behind the Poster, starring Steven Spielberg. It's actually just it's a feature-length documentary about Drew Struzan. Who is the guy who did the poster for Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, Back to the Future, and the Star Wars movies? And it's like a documentary. It's not just like a biopic or whatever. So this should be fun. You've also got Paranoia, which had the other Hemsworth brother, who was also in The Hunger Games. So that's a cool week for him. It's also got Gary Oldman and our good friend Harrison Ford. Also, you've got The To-Do List, which has your bestie Aubrey Plaza.
I'm renting that as we speak
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, good job. It's available on Ultraviolet. Have fun with that. You've got Warner Mills, which I watched, which is actually a pretty good comedy. Warner Mills is pretty good. And you've got, the sad part is that it's Jennifer Aniston playing a stripper, and you don't really see her tits, but, you know.
All you're seeing is the large testicle, pretty much.
Yeah, you see a giant testicle. That's right. And then you've got The World's End, which got great reviews. That's a movie with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, done by Edgar Wright. Obviously, it's British, so if you like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, you'll like this. If you didn't, this will not sway you. So that's what you got.
Excellent job. Let's check out Netflix for this week.
This week in Netflix.
So for Netflix this week, not like last week when we had, you know, James Bond and Pirates. Got a couple of movies, though, if you you want to stay in and stream a couple of movies. We got Killing Season with Robert De Niro. We've got Fun Size and also The American with George Clooney. On the Canadian side, we have nothing. Nothing.
There's a couple on the American side that look good. Stalled, I believe it was at Fantasia in Montreal. It sounds pretty funny. A janitor appropriately named WC is cleaning a ladies' room when a zombie apocalypse breaks out at the office Christmas party. Taking refuge in a stall, the unarmed, defenseless WC makes a final stand against the undead. I gotta see this. This sounds hilarious.
This does sound hilarious.
And then there's Breaking the Girls, which sounds pretty cool, which is a couple of college roommates are getting intimate. I guess they're experiencing lesbianism. And they're like, oh, we should murder each other's enemies. Kind of like...
U-Turn?
It was a Hitchcock flick back in the day. where they were told, like, Strangers on a Train. Sounds kind of something like that. And all that Mystery Science Theater 3000 stuff, that's coming out, which is going to be big.
All right, cool. Check that out on Netflix. Let's get into the bargain bin.
I love sluts. I love whores. I love tramps. I love stupid says. I love sluts. I love sluts.
Carp, what do we got in the bin for this week?
Well, the bin was also last week, since unfortunately it didn't appear, so Resident Evil Retrospective was in instead. It's Guns, Girls, and Gambling. Quick synopsis. Wrongly accused of stealing a priceless Apache artifact at a reservation casino, unlucky John Smith is being hunted by assassins.
John Smith
is being hunted by assassins, sheriffs, cowboys, Indians, Native Americans, and Elvis impersonators. And unfortunately for John, he only has 24 hours to hand over, or they are all going to kill him. It stars Christian Slater, Powers Booth, Dane Cook, and Gary Oldman, to name a few.
Wow.
This is a quick-witted, gun-smoking crime thriller. A couple of twists that were really good. Christian Slater did a good job. Dane Cook, I was actually quite surprised by, as there's actually two town sheriffs instead of just one. There's him and Sam Trammell, who the True Blood listeners will know. One works for, like, the casino guy, and one works for the Texan or the cowboy, who's Powers Booth. A couple of good twists. The Elvis impersonator group is hilarious. It consists of an Asian Elvis, a gay Elvis, Christian Slater as an Elvis impersonator, the midget Elvis, he gets mad, and you call him Little Person Elvis, played by Tony Cox from Bad Santa.
And he's the midget in everything.
And then the true Elvis impersonator Elvis, who is Gary Oldman.
Isn't he in jail, though, Tony Cox?
No, okay. Not that I know of. A couple of hot chicks, a really hot blonde assassin who quotes Edgar Allan Poe. This movie was really enjoyable. It's a solid 8.5 hot smoking blonde assassins out of 10.
And just to give you some quick news, we're actually thinking of spinning off Carp's Bargain Bin into a monthly show to add on to Old School at the Movies. So look for that in early January, the first episode, full episode of Carp's Bargain Bin. Carp. It's going to be starring. Yeah, it's going to be me and you, and you know, if Will or Kev, you guys want to join in?
I can sit down and like I'm trying to cut back on my Saturday overindulgences, so kicking back and watching a few bargain bin flicks at your place sounds good.
Yeah, it'd be good too. And we're going to try to get some stuff because you know, obviously, the movie stores are going away, so we're going to try to get some stuff on a site called Crackle, crackle.com. A lot of interesting movies there. It's free, ad supported, so the ad might get annoying, but it's like watching a TV movie. And the movies are free, and so you can follow along for the price of zero, just a internet connection. So look out for that in early January. Let's get into the winter movie draft breakdown.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
All right, Carp, so let's get a review on the weekend that was and what's to come up this week.
The weekend that was simply just the Best Man Holiday with a budget of 17, pulled in a surprising $30.1 million. This right now is the sleeper pick, as I believe it was one of the last movies selected in the draft.
Imagine.
As for this upcoming week, we have Delivery Man, who I believe Heavyset also has.
Look at this guy.
And I will be opening this week with Hunger Games Catching Fire.
You will be winning the draft next week with Hunger Games.
And that's all that's upcoming this week. And then we'll discuss next week.
Let's close the show with plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with Mr. Heavyset.
I'm looking forward to this coming weekend when the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who airs worldwide, same time. And what I'm going to do is wait till Monday, which is going to be very hard not to watch it because in theaters, they're going to actually have a 3D showing, and it's going to be one way to experience this. It's going to be remarkable.
Awesome. Will, what's going on with comicbooksftw.com this week?
Ah, well, you're going to have an interview with, I believe her name is Kamui. She's a German cosplayer. You'll have fun with that.
Is she hot?
I don't know. She's not my type of girl. I'm into Asians. She's like tall, skinny, blonde German girl. So
oh, yeah, Kev would be in her. Completely unattractive.
I don't know. Up to you guys. You know, I'll tell you what.
Blonde.
No. What's great is that her accent is so freaking, it's amazing to hear her talk in English. It sounds a lot like what you guys expect. Also, I'd like to say something else, because in case old school's a giant D-bag and cuts me off from before, if anybody wants to watch Delivery Man, please beware. It looks like a comedy movie, but it's not. It's a shot-for-shot remake of a French-Canadian movie, so please buyer beware. That's all.
All right, Carp, let's get your plugs, final thoughts. What's going on with Stable Wars?
All right, Stable Wars is actually, TNA Stable. Okay, I can't even complete the sentence. TNA Stable Wars is going to be up and running. If you want to somehow watch TNA, TNA's dying product. If you want to play the game, play it. But we're still always looking for new members to play up the WWE stuff. Survivor Series pay-per-view will be opening as of the time this podcast comes out. So try your luck, and if you do well from now until WrestleMania, you can win a DVD prize. Also, it is November. It is the month of Movember, Men's Health Awareness. For those who haven't donated yet, thank you, Mr. Old School. I suggest you check out Movember.com and hit up me by my actual real name, Michael Carpenter. You'll see me there. Any donation is more than welcome. This is always concerning every single male, including everyone on this panel who should donate to this great cause.
I agree, 100%. We're also going to put a link in the show notes as well if you want to check that out. Thank you very much, Carp. Kembo Trek, let's end with you. Get your final thoughts.
Resident Evil.
Yeah, I don't have much, so we'll end with that.
Big surprise there. All right, so for Heavyset, Will, Kembo Trek, and myself, and Carp, thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us. It's a Wonderful Life sequel is coming to 25th, coming, news since A New Hope was released all the way back in 1977. For the constant.
Wow, 1997, bro.
And I think the answer is obvious, but.
Boobs.
I think it has a possibility of going that way. I mean, like who was said, like that is where their money is. The Batman franchise, that's what the most recent ones really started to make some money.
Dude, you sound like you got Down syndrome, man.
Get some attention away from everything that has been Marvel.
Heavy, you'll have to re-say that stuff. It won't.
Yeah, you sounded like Corky there for a second, man. All right, let's close the show with our plugs and final thoughts.